every part of me.
I was looking at a magnificent landscape, exploding with beauty and color.
Forests of symmetrical trees, unlike anything on Earth. They covered the foothills on each side.
I've never ever felt more alive than I did then. I was home.
I was home. I was where I belonged.
It was as if this was the place I had been searching for my whole life, and I'd found it.
As I mentioned, we're in the series called Imagine Heaven. We all have questions about heaven. They may be different than your neighbor's questions that they have. They may be the same as your neighbors have. But we all have these different questions, like, what is heaven going to be like? Is heaven real? What are we going to do in heaven? Exactly what takes place? And we have all these different questions about heaven. And I think that as we've been in this series, that we just learned, maybe we've even came up with some other questions as we come along, and we thought of some other questions that maybe we've thought deeply through this. And I really realized just maybe how deep some of our questions really are and some of the things that we just really, really want to know about heaven. And through this, we looked at some near-death experiences as well. And maybe we have questions about near-death experiences, like, is what they really experienced, is it real? Is it an out-of-body experience? Was it just a vision? Was it a dream? Exactly what are they doing through that? And so in this series, I want us just to realize it's just a great time maybe just to open up our minds about what heaven's going to be like. Maybe it's a time just to get rid of some old assumptions, some things that we've just thought for a very, very long time, but we don't necessarily find those in Scripture. And maybe it's time just a time to get some answers of some of our questions for the very first time. But I'm just glad that you decided to join us this morning as we dive into this particular series. We've been looking at a guy's research by the name of John Burke. He researched thousands of near-death experiences. And what I really like, as I mentioned several times about his research, is he took out those who had something to gain from it. If they could gain some fame, they could gain some money, something like that, he just kind of took those out, and he only researched those that had something to lose in the situation. And so as we look at different those, we just kind of keep that in heaven. Today I want us to look at this question. What is the highlight of heaven? What is the highlight of heaven? You know, whether you consider yourself a skeptic or you consider yourself a Christian, we all have these different questions about what heaven will be like and whether how much fun heaven will be like and what we will do and all these different things. But one of the questions that we face is, what is the highlight? And so we all have a highlight of our week this past week. Some of your highlights were a little better than other people's highlights. But when you think about a month, you think about a year, you think maybe a week, there is something that stood out as a highlight. For some of you, it was that just 30 minutes of extra sleep that you got. And that was just the highlight of your week. Maybe for you, it's that maybe you got off work early this week and it was just a highlight of your week. Maybe your kids actually did what you asked them to do the very first time and that was the highlight of your week. And so we have these different things and you just never know maybe what your highlight of your week is, but we all have a highlight of our week and the things that we would point to that was our favorite part of the week. Or at least when you start looking at bigger picture, you can think, oh, this was the highlight of my month. And we can think of all these different things that we can take our time and think about. But what is the highlight of heaven? And will the highlight of heaven be anything like the highlights that we have here on earth? And we think about the things that you enjoy on earth, and we try to think about heaven, or does they have anything in common at all? And I've even heard this statement, maybe some of you have heard this statement before. I look forward to the eternal retirement in the sky. We look forward to not doing anything and having those different things. And next week we're gonna look at that a little bit, and we're gonna look that there actually is some work in heaven and some things and jobs that we have assigned. And some of you just eyes got about that big and you thought, I didn't think I was gonna have to do anything. But I want us to look at this. This is so really what is the highlight of heaven. Because there's things here on earth that we value. And we really value them, and they're important to us. And will those things really be valuable to us in heaven? Will those same things that we value for the highlight of our week now have anything to do with the highlight of heaven whatsoever? And so when we look at this question, we're going to look at what some people had near-death experience and what they had to say and their experiences this morning. I just want to remind you, when we look at these different ones, first of all, they do not trump Scripture. Scripture is the truth and the most important. And these people, I want you to realize they had no vital signs. They were considered clinically dead. They had these out-of-body experiences. And we see them from all different places of the world, from all different backgrounds, and all these different things as we hear them. And for every single one of them that John Burke did research on, the highlight of heaven was this being of light. It was not this city. It was not a place. It was not anything. It was an actual being of light. And for every single person, this being of light, I want you to realize this morning, looked remarkably like Jesus. And so there was a guy named Renee, and he hydroplaned on the streets of Sydney, Australia, and he died. So basically it was raining. He was driving too fast. He tried to outrun the train. He didn't quite make it, and he slid off the road, and he was killed. And he had this to say: I arrived into an explosion of glorious light, into a room with insubstantial walls, standing before a man in his 30s and about 6 feet tall, reddish-brown, shoulder-length hair with a short beard and mustache. And so some of us are thinking, so it's a hipster. And when I hear that, I think a lot of us, we think that description, we're like, seriously, wait just a minute, you got to be kidding me. Like, 6 feet tall, in his 30s, a beard, shoulder-length hair. That's pretty descriptive. And I don't know about you, when I first read that and heard about it, I thought about a church that I grew up in, and the church that I grew up in, there was this painting, this probably really print picture that was hanging up, and it was this picture of Jesus. And it sounded a lot like that picture that I saw in the church that I grew up in. So I was just curious. I just Googled Jesus, and I just hit images. And every single image looked pretty much exactly the same on Google as the picture that I remember growing up, kind of the picture that he describes right here. So I found that very interesting. But what I really found interesting is this, that people that never heard about Jesus, people that had never really knew much about Jesus or studied Jesus, described him a lot simple things. And he goes on to say this: he wore a simple white robe. Light seems to emanate from him, and I felt he had great age and wisdom. He welcomed me with great love and tranquility, peace indescribably, no words, and I felt I can sit at your feet forever and be content. And those words are used over and over and over again. And then there was another girl. She is a blind girl. Her name is Vicky. And she was killed in an accident. And she describes Jesus and her friends that she had never seen. And you have to realize how remarkable this particular story is, because she had been blind since birth. She'd actually never seen her friends. And when she began to describe her friends, she actually described them very, very detailed, and even in the clothes that they were wearing when she had this out-of-body experience. And here's what she had to say. Vicky described Jesus as a man with a beard, with shoulder-length hair, with piercing eyes, and a white robe with light emanating from him. And we think about the Old Testament in this spiritual being that it talks about a lot of times, and it refers to exactly the same types of descriptions that we see, more importantly, in the Bible, more importantly than what they had seen and saw themselves. And in his research, you see this pattern over and over and over again. But when we think about this particular description of Jesus, it's easy for us to think and have this argument, well, if you believe in Jesus, then God is going to look a whole lot like Jesus. So maybe if you have a different religion and you believe in a different God, then maybe what you see would look a whole lot different than other people. And as you read these accounts, you see the same thing repeated over and over again. And the being Jesus, that person that doesn't change, it didn't change, the description did not change with ethnicity, with religious background, whether it was Hindus, whether it was Jews. They all report of meeting this man that matches the description of Jesus. And I find it fascinating because Hindus, they believe in thousands and thousands of gods. And the only one that they described was this being of light that looks remarkably a lot like Jesus. And every one of them points to this being the highlight in heaven. And this really shouldn't surprise us, because as we look in Revelation, we see a lot of this in scriptures. In Revelation chapter 21, I want to read in verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or no more sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever." All these things, this sorrow that we experience on earth, this crying that we experience on earth, these sinus infections that we experience on earth, everything that we face, it says, it's going to be gone forever. And it goes on in verse 5, and it says, "The one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.'" And so who's sitting on the throne? It's Jesus that's sitting on the throne. And what I love is saying this, "I'm making every single thing new." See, it's not just this state, it's actually this place. And when you read in the New Testament, you see that people flock to Jesus and they talk to Jesus. And you see later that the Apostle Paul, he was all about Jesus. And you start reading in different books of the Bible, and you read in Thessalonians, and you read in Revelations, and you read in Daniel, and you realize that everything there, it's all about Jesus. And when we read about these visions of heaven that John had in Revelation, that closes Scripture, it's all about Jesus. And then he said on in that next verse, it says, "And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.'" And I love this because it says, "Hey, write this down." He says, "Everything I tell you is trustworthy and true." And I think that we live in a culture that sometimes we have a little bit of a struggle with this idea that everything is trustworthy and true. Because I don't know about you, when you read some things nowadays, my first thought is not, "This is trustworthy and true, and I think that this is really, really happening." And as he writes this, he says, you know what? Everything is totally, it's trustworthy, and it's true. And if you're sitting here and you think that there is just this not, this absolute truth, then just get on 287 and go the wrong way down the highway. There's this absolute truth that you're going to meet some other vehicles. There's an absolute truth you're going to get hurt. There's an absolute truth it's not going to go very well. There's absolute truth you're going to hear some horns honking at you as you go down the road. And so sometimes we think, oh, there's not these absolute truths, but in reality, we even see them today driving down the wrong side of the road. And that's exactly what he's saying here. And then he goes on to say this. He says, and he also said, "It is finished. It's complete." He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." He said, it starts with me and it ends with me. And here's Jesus talking, from the beginning to the end, it's all about Jesus. And it goes on, it says, "To all who are thirsty, I give you freely from the springs of the water of life." And we're going to look at that particular scripture closer next week, and we're going to look at this idea of judgment. We're going to look at this idea of why there are two different judgments, and we're going to look at some questions about what about hell, and we're going to look at some near-death negative experiences as we look closer to that. You know, and it goes on in verse 7, and it says this, "All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." And I read this particular scripture, and the word inherit stands out to me. And when you think about the word inherit, when I think about people who inherit something, or if I inherit something at some point from my parents, there's nothing that I did to deserve it. My parents worked in their lifetime. They built up, they saved, they did whatever that they possibly could. And inheritance is, hey, my parents saying, hey, Matthew and my siblings, hey, here is what we have left. Here's what we can give you. And it's just something that is just given to us. And so when I think about inheritance, there's nothing that you can actually do for it. And he said there, he said, inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. And if you flip over in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, it goes on to say this. Then the angel showed me a river with water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. See, in the Old Testament, it talks about the Lamb, and it talks about the Passover Lamb. And they would kill a lamb, and they would put the blood over the doorpost so that they would pass over. And we see that example, and we kind of see that referring back to this. And then the New Testament, Christians believe that Jesus' sacrifice fulfilled that. And so when you look at this and it refers to the Lamb, what it's saying is Jesus has dealt with our human problems. Jesus has taken care of it. And what I love here, it says the throne of God and of the Lamb. These two are inseparable. They are indistinguishable. And so if you look for God, you're going to find Jesus, because Jesus and God are one. And you see all through the Revelation when it says the throne of God and of the Lamb. In verse 2 it goes on and it says, and flow down the center of Main Street. On each side of the river grew the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit. And there's so much more, and we'll look at some of that next week. And it says, with a fresh crop each month, the leaves were used for medicine. They healed the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there. And we see this, and this idea of no night sometimes, I don't know about you, but it's just kind of hard to picture this idea where this just brightness all the time. And you listen to the people who had the near-death experiences, and they share the same type of thing where there is no need, there is no shadows, where there is no need of light, because there's just this light emanating from God himself, emanating from Jesus himself. And so all of this points to Jesus. And so when we think about the question, then it becomes, why Jesus? Why is Jesus the highlight of heaven? And it can even lead us maybe to some questions maybe like this. Will my sins and missed opportunities, shortcomings, imperfections be on display for all to see in heaven? And the answer is yes. And we looked at some life reviews last week, and we're going to look at this a little bit more. And sometimes the things that we work so hard for, the accolades, the money, the status, it doesn't mean near as much as we actually think it does. And what matters is what you did with Jesus. So the question is, will all my sins and our shortcomings and all the things in my life be on display in heaven? The answer is they will. And we'll talk about it again more next week. And that, though, is why Jesus is the highlight of heaven. And Jesus addresses the tension that we wrestle with in our life, and he addresses the tensions that we go with. And the tension is this: I don't want anyone to completely know me, because if they did, they wouldn't love me. And I think this is a tension that we actually wrestle with in life. We let people so close, and we think, well, if they just knew this one detail about me, then they're not really going to love me the way that I would like for them. Or their opinion of me is going to change. And so, and maybe you let someone at some point in your life get close enough and they learn the detail, they learn something, you shared something with them, and maybe they did take a step back. And so it just kind of drove this home a little bit that, you know, if I was completely known, then there's no way that I can be completely loved. And it's very easy in our culture and our life to really fall for this. And what we need to really realize is, because of our friendships and because of the things that we fear, we don't want to be completely known, because if they did, we couldn't be completely loved. And so I ask you, Can you kind of identify with that question from time to time? And you can be afraid of being just completely known. And here's why Jesus is the highlight of heaven. Jesus completely knows you, and he completely loves you. He completely knows every detail about you. He knows it all. He knows the things about you that you've even forgotten. He knows the things about you that you've blocked out of your memory. He knows every thought, every deed, everything, every regret, everything that you do, and yet he is still completely loves you. And so Jesus completely knows you, and he completely loves you. That's why in Matthew, Jesus said, at some point, every word, every hidden thought, every motive will be brought to light. And Jesus says, I completely love you. Early in this series, we were introduced to a lady named Dr. Mary Neal. She was a spine surgeon, and she was in this kayak accident. And in this video, she talks about what she experiences in her highlight of heaven. And let's watch this video.
I went over a waterfall that had a tremendous volume and a lot of current. And as my boat rocketed down, the front end became stuck or pinned in the rocks underwater. And the boat and I were immediately and completely submerged under about 8 or 10 feet of water. Mm. And I very quickly knew that I was likely going to die. And at that point, I completely surrendered the outcome to God's will. And the moment I asked that God's will be done, I was immediately and very physically held by Christ and reassured that everything would be fine, regardless.
How did you know it was Jesus holding you?
It's an absolute pure knowledge. It would be as though I saw my husband in the grocery store and I knew it was my husband. I don't have to ask if it's my husband. Mm. I knew that it was Christ holding me, and it was a very pure, absolute knowledge. And that was one of the first very profound aspects of this experience for me, because I knew that I didn't deserve to be held by Christ. I certainly didn't deserve his love or his reassurance, but that's the beauty of it. None of us actually deserve God's love.
Mm. What did he look like? Everybody wants to know.
Everybody asks.
I know.
And my answer is very clear, even though it's nonsensical. And I would say that he looked like bottomless kindness and compassion. And those are not words that make sense, because those aren't words that we use visually. But that is what he looked like. It wasn't a matter of looking at someone and saying, oh, you know, he had brown hair and,
right,
you know, whatever. He looked like bottomless kindness and compassion. And in terms of his outward appearance, I would say the same thing as the other people I saw, which is a physicality, head, arms, legs. And again, this filamentous robe exploding with love. But I also will say that I'm not entirely sure that that's how he always is. I went over.
All right. And we watched this video and her description, the part that we heard there. It's just repeated over and over again by different people. That this being of light, Jesus, is just beyond words. And in this world, we go around and we try and we fight with this tension of being completely known and completely loved. And so a lot of times we go from relationship to relationship or job to job. And we just really fight with this problem here. And the truth is, this tension of being completely known and completely loved is never going to be settled here on earth. We can get better at loving people, and the more that we become like Christ, the better that we should be at it. But this description, when we get to heaven, of why Jesus is the highlight of heaven, is because he completely knows you and he completely loves you. And it's in these words that we can't even begin to describe or explain in heaven. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through 30, says this: "My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you." Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done. It says, "All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And we look at this scripture, and there's just this universal calling that says, "Come to me. I'll take care of it. Come to me. I'll take care of your burdens. Come to me. Quit carrying the things that you have to carry." And we wonder why that Jesus is the highlight of heaven. This is the reason. He's constantly saying, "Hey, come to me." He constantly says, "Hey, I love you no matter what you've done." And as we look, and we looked at this guy earlier, his name was Dale Black, and he was a commercial airline pilot that was killed in a crash as a young adult. And he had made the decision to follow Jesus at a young age, and he says, though, as he grew into an adult, he really wasn't following Jesus and really wasn't living for Jesus. And I want you to hear what he has to say.
Did you see Jesus?
Later, I did. That was the last thing that happened. After going through the city and asking questions and going through at the very last moment, I had been ushered closer and closer toward the light, toward the light, toward the light.
The light that's in the center of the city?
Yeah. And then there was a stairway that was near the glass sea, which it looked like a sea, and a stairway that went up, and a large angel with the most power, if we would say that. And it was clear that he was basically in charge of that stairway. And I just began to communicate to this angel heart to heart. Again, it's hard to say, did we talk? It seemed like it, but then it seemed like we didn't. This communication was just impeccably pure. And I began to recognize, I can't go up there. I can't go up. I can't go up and still go back. And I was thinking, go back? Go back? What do we mean? What's that mean? And as soon as I'm thinking, go back, the angel moved just to the side. But I looked into the eyes of the warmest, kindest, most wonderful. I knew this was the Son of God. I knew this was my Savior. And all of a sudden, my knees buckled. My legs lost their strength. And I just went down. I couldn't stand. I was not worthy to... I was not worthy to stand in His presence. Funny that I didn't feel worthy to be in heaven, yet I knew I was worthy in the early part. I was somehow given this, granted this authority, but I had this supernatural gift that I was worthy. Somebody had done something for me.
He had.
Yes. And so I'm down on my, just falling down, and I see His feet, and I grab them, and I hold His feet, and I see the scars. And I know this is the Son of God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. It is because of Him. He died for everybody. It's so cool because the Bible even says, no, I just take that back. Jesus said that I have come not to condemn the world, but that the world through me will be saved. And it was because of that. He's not condemning anybody. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life, what sins you've done, including murder. It doesn't matter what you've done. All of it is forgivable. God can forgive anybody of anything. And then we have this free gift that we call salvation. You and I know about
it. And that's what you felt
and
at his feet.
Of course, like. But to describe this experience, I just stopped at his feet and I was worshiping him down on the ground there. And I heard the voice, "Dale, do you love me?" That's it. Do you love me? Mm. And I'm trying to think of all these words to say. And I'm getting ready to say, in a sense, I'm getting ready to say, but I've said nothing. And I'm getting ready to say, "Of course I love you, Lord. I remember who you are, what you do." I'm getting ready to say that. And he bends down and whispers into my ear. And I'm now back.
As we hear different testimonies of near-death experiences and as we read Scripture, there's one thing that's clear. Jesus is the highlight of heaven. It's very hard to describe the love that comes from him, the light that comes from him, all those different things. And I think that we can all say that we just have this sense of just wanting to be completely known and completely loved. And at the heart of that is forgiveness. At the heart of that is we want to know that we're forgiven for that one, two, three, or more things that we've been hiding maybe for a long time. And we looked and we listened to these descriptions and we realize that Jesus paid this debt that we couldn't pay. He resolved something that we couldn't resolve on our own. And when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, we have to realize that we are completely loved and completely known. And when we realize that, it changes how we live on earth, and it changes everything for eternity. And so the question I really want to leave you with today is a question that maybe we just need to wrestle with a little bit. The question is this. So what's keeping you from fully trusting Jesus? What is it? What's your reservation? What's your pushback? What's your delay? What questions do you have? What's keeping you from fully trusting Jesus? And as I studied and I looked at this, it was one thing I think that maybe most of us kind of know, that this is the highlight of heaven. But I think it's also, if we're not careful, something that we can look over because we want to know some other questions. And we want to know some other answers. And as I studied and you look at it, everything is about Jesus. And it's like, how can you skip this one? The highlight of heaven. Because he loves you so deeply that we can't even put it into words. There's this light and there's no darkness. And even the things that we know that we did wrong, yet we still experience this grace and this forgiveness. And I love the video because he couldn't put it into words. He said, "But I just knew that I was loved." That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us. And so as we think about these questions about heaven, I think the most important one that we need the answer to and need to realize is Jesus is the highlight of heaven. Clearly. And there are streets of gold, and there's these gates made out of pearls, and there's all these other things that are described, yet Jesus is still the highlight of heaven. I don't know about you. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around these streets of gold. and just how beautiful, and I don't even know how to describe them, but yet Jesus is still clearly the highlight of heaven over everything else. And maybe you're here today, and maybe that's you, and you've just kind of struggled with relationship to relationship, and maybe you've just struggled with this idea, you know what, I just can't be completely known and completely loved. And maybe you're thinking, and maybe you've even said before, well, if you really knew everything about me, it would change everything. But Jesus does know everything about you. It says that he knew every detail of your life, and yet he still came and he died on the cross for your sins. And you can be completely known. And you can be completely loved. And so maybe for you today, it's that opportunity for the first time that you just realize that for the first time. And it's a time for you just to give your life to Christ and say, God, I trust you. Because you are completely trustworthy and completely true. And that I put my faith in you. And that I know that you can clean up. And I know that you can forgive the things that I have done. And then for some of you, maybe you've just been carrying some things around for way too long. And you just need to take your burdens and you need to put them at the feet of Jesus. Because he does love you. And the scripture, maybe many of you have heard, maybe your entire life, for God so loved the world that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And maybe you just need to.